of the Word of God. Now, I don't know how you have been feeling about it, but I will confess, and I hope I can communicate it to you. I've enjoyed the study of the Word of God. As we often sing, the best book in the world. Shall we turn first to our portion, our basic scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. As we have often mentioned, if we preach without a text, we are preaching under pretext. And we don't want to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. What a precious portion. We are holding in our hands this evening the word of God, not the word of a man. And then I've said before, not even the word of Darby, much as we esteem him, or the word of Kelly, or the word of Ironside. This is the word of God. Now I find that thrilling, that I can hold in my hand the word of the only true and living God. How do you feel about it? Now we have been basing our thoughts on Psalm 19, developing thoughts concerning the word from Psalm 19. Verses 7 through 9. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. And we have seen that these six, what shall I call them, characteristics, law, testimony, precepts, and so forth, all speak of the word of God. We have considered the commandments of the word. The word of God contains commandments, not requests. And we have spoken of other aspects. Tonight we want to speak of fear. In what sense is the word of God characterized by fear? The fear of the Lord is clean. How is the word related to fear? Genesis chapter 3. And as usual, we shall be turning to many scriptures. What does this word fear mean? The word of God as fear. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. They, Adam and Eve, heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. When you get home, study that expression, the voice was walking. You know, that's another thing about the Bible. There's some beautiful expressions there that we don't use today. The voice was walking. Think of that when you go home. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. Fear, terror, fright, dread. Is that what the word of God is to us? Are we afraid of it? Does it drive us in terror? chapter 22. This we know well. Fear may mean dread, fright, scare. Genesis chapter 22, verse 12. We know the whole story, so we won't read the whole chapter. And he said, God said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Now I know that thou fearest God. What does fear mean there? Does it mean that he was afraid of God? The sister says no. And I think we all say no. It meant a profound regard and respect, veneration for God. Psalm 5, please. Psalm number 5. Verse 7. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy and in thy fear. What does fear mean here? It means reverence. It means veneration, respect. Chapter 36, please, in verse 1. Chapter 36, verse 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. Not fear in the sense that he's afraid that God is going to hurt him. No respect. No reverence. And when the word is compared to fear, the idea is reverence and respect for the word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 24. Only fear the Lord. What does that mean, fear the Lord? Is he telling them to be afraid of the Lord? Is he telling them to dread the Lord and run and hide as Adam and Eve did? I fear not. He's telling them to respect, to reverence the Lord. And this book is to be reverenced. There are several other scriptures. Oh, you see, I like to turn to the scriptures. So you'll have to endure it with me. 1 Kings chapter 18. I remember as a youngster we had a brother, and he said to me, whenever you want to prove something from the Bible, never take just one scripture. Find as many scriptures as you can to prove your point. And that's what we're doing tonight with the word fear. 1 Kings chapter 18. Verses 3 and 4. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Verse 12. It shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord. What does fear mean there? Does it mean he was afraid that the Lord's going to hurt him? I think you will agree with me, it means respect, regard, reverence for the Lord. New Testament, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the days of his flesh, while he was down here on earth, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. He was heard for his piety. He was heard because of his reverence. The fear of reverence. Chapter 10, verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What does fear mean here? It means something you better dread and avoid. It's a frightful thing and a frightening thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Chapter 11. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear. What kind of fear was that? Was he afraid? Or was it the fear of reverence? Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Is there a verse anywhere in the Bible that suggests that fear refers to the Word of God? You've seen a lot of instances of fear, and there are many more. I think of one verse, Psalm 119. Psalm 161, the latter part of the verse, 119, verse 161b, I might call it, the second sentence. My heart standeth in awe of thy word. The word of God is awesome, is to be reverenced, is to be honored and feared. And now what we want to do for the remaining time is to consider some who did not fear the Word of God. There is a very popular telecaster. You know, up to early this morning, I didn't know whether she or not she is alive, but this evening in conversation, I understand that she's alive and telecasting. We have been living here some 24 years. A good 10 years before we moved here, I turned on to one of her programs. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know who I mean. And she was discussing, or leading the discussion of a certain subject. And different ones were giving their advice. And one young lady stood up with the Bible and said, the Bible says, and this young lady leading the discussion said, we don't want the Bible in this. And I said, if you don't want the Bible on your program, I don't want you on my TV. No fear of God. Exodus chapter 5, please. And that is one of the troubles we find today. Men don't want the Word of God. And then another trouble I find is, and I have a relative who's like this, who likes to argue with God. You can't out-argue God. You remember what he says in Isaiah 55? As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. How are you going to argue with God? Tell him he didn't do something right. Doesn't make sense. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. Now what did they tell Pharaoh? Thus saith the Lord, the word of God. Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Verse 2, what was Pharaoh's reply? Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? And they're saying that today. That I should obey his voice and let Israel go. I don't know the Lord and I won't let Israel go. I don't know him and I won't do what he says. No regard for the word of God. And it's increasing. I remember when I was in elementary school, every Friday we had what they called assembly. All the students of a certain grade met in the assembly hall. And the principal read a verse from the Bible. They can't do that today in the public schools. They can't do it today. Why? No regard, no reverence, no respect for the Word of God. 2 Kings chapter 22. Second Kings chapter 22, verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law, the word of God, in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest gave me a book. We've looked at this before. Hilkiah said, I have found the book of the law. Shaphan said, he gave me a book. The Bible is not a book. The Bible is the book. I believe I told you some time ago, I was in the office, and my wife called me. She knew then and knows now my taste in literature. There's a man with some books here. I think you would be interested. The Great Books of Western Civilization. I said, tell him I'll be home at 9 o'clock. And there are these great books of Western Civilization, Gibbons and Shakespeare and Carlyle, all these, the ancient writers, Cicero and Brutus, great writers of Western Civilization. I said to him, why isn't the Bible in there? And he looked at me like, I said, you don't have a greater book in the world than the Bible, Western civilization or any other civilization. He said, well, I'll talk it over with the editors. And he called me back two nights later and said, the editor said, if you will buy their volumes, they'll give you a Bible. And yet, you know, when I think of it, they were right to leave the Bible out. The Bible is not to be classed with any other book. It's a separate book. But that's the way people feel about the Word of God. Now, let's continue our reading. Verse 11, it came to pass when the king heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. That's respect for the Word of God. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Akiam the son of Shaphan and Akbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Azariah a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people, for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. Great is the wrath of the Lord. He respected the Word of God. Verse 18. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when thou heardst what I spake against the place and against the inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent your clothes and wept before me, I have heard thee, says the Lord. Respect for the Word of God. And that is, I say again, one of the things that's lacking in our nation and lacking in our educational system. Men are taking the Word of God and altering it to suit themselves. You've heard me say this before too. In music, you see, there is such a thing as an altered chord. These musicians will tell you. You alter the chord by just a half step. Not too much. And it gives you a very nice effect. That's why so many people like Chopin's music, because he has a lot of altered chords in there. But you don't alter the Word of God. That God said what he meant, and he meant what he said. The Word of God. And here is a king that was humble before the Word of God. Let's read about the next king. Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36. Disrespect for the Word of God. And you know, I have certain feelings about the Word of God, and my children know. In my home, you don't put any other book on top of the Bible except another Bible. Now, you may not agree with that, but that's how I feel about it. This book, nothing goes on top of it unless you have another Bible to put on top of it. This is the Word of God, and we are to respect it. I would suggest, beloved, that you treat it kindly. Don't get dog ears and don't rip the pages. And I remember I was in Colorado and a brother had a new Bible and he was showing it to me and another brother. And this other brother took the Bible. And you know how some people lick their finger to turn the pages? And when he licked, his friend licked his finger and about to turn the pages, brother said, no, no, don't put your sputum on my Bible. Respect for the Word of God. But let's read Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 1. It came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take a scroll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee, Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the day of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, and so forth. Come down now to verse 21. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll. He took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. It came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four columns, he, the king, cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth. What disrespect for the word of God. Would you like to know what happened? Read the rest of the chapter when you go home. And this is what we are finding in this nation today. Disrespect for the word of God. Again, I say, I'm repeating myself, this is not the word of man, it's the word of God. Book of Jonah, chapter 3, please. Jonah. Chapter 3. We know it well. Let's read from verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city. Nineveh was like New York, a great city. And preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, and according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Took you 3 days to walk around. Large city, wasn't it? All right. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried. What was his message? Yet, count the message. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. 8 words. Oh, I wish we could speak 8 words in New York City and get a decent audience to respond the way these folks responded. 8 simple words was all that he said. We read on. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Respect for his word. Fear for the word of God. Godly fear. And proclaimed a fast. Put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. What a response to the word of God. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. What a response to 8 words. Wouldn't you like to see that in New York? When we lived in New York, one of the places that I liked to take visitors was to the UN. At the United Nations, they have certain chambers, or better I should say, lecture halls. The acoustics are perfect. Wherever you sit, you can hear what the speakers say. And I've often said to myself, I sure would like to get some of these officials in one of these chambers and preach the gospel to them. I wonder how they'd respond. I hope they would respond the way the Ninevites respond. Verse 10, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil he said that he would do them, and he did it not. Respect for the word of God. New Testament. Luke chapter 5. Jehoiakim did not respect the word of God, and he burned it. The king of Nineveh, that great and wicked city, they respected and responded to the word of God. Oh, I ask you, beloved, what do you think of the Bible that you're holding in your hand? Greatest book in the world. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. You see, I have a great imagination, and I have often wondered, I surely would like to have been there. Just sit down and listen to the Lord teaching. That must have been a thrill. Like none other that I've ever experienced on earth. The Creator of heaven and earth sitting down there teaching? Must have been thrilling. But we read on. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Let your nets, plural, down for a draught. Notice that, please. Let your nets. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Oh, he responded. He respected the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, but incompletely. We have to be aware of incomplete obedience. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down. That's our next phase. The fear of the Lord is clean. Respect for the word of God has a wholesome influence on the individual. And that's going to be a lovely tracing of men who fell down before the word of God, fell down before God. You remember Isaiah? When the year that King Uzziah died and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and then he fell down. I abhor myself. Job said, I have seen thee and heard of thee. Now I see thee. I abhor myself. Even Daniel, when he saw the Lord, he fell down. And Ezekiel, when he saw the Lord, he fell down. What do we do when we see the Lord? Sit up. We should take the low place. But that's another subject. We'll come to that some other time. Now, John chapter 21. Conduct in the divine presence. Now you say to me, well, Peter actually saw the Lord with his physical eyes. We don't see the Lord with our physical eyes. We'll get into that. The living word and the written word are in 100% agreement. So that if you look into the written word, you see the Lord. You remember what he said to his disciples? The scriptures testify of me. I remember years ago when our brother, I forget his name, he died a couple of years ago. And he invited me to go to the nearby prison. And that night, my subject was, who is the chief character in the Bible? And all those young men raised their hands and said, man. There's a lot in there about man, but the chief character in the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is about him. And when we read the Bible and don't see him, we've missed the point. John 21, verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth, entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. All right? They didn't know it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Respect for the word of God. They cast their net there, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. Read verse 7. As I said, that's a future lesson, but it's nice. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Oh my. Now this is going to make a difference. They didn't know who he was at first. It is the Lord. When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his fisher's coat. He was naked. The profound effect on the believer when he sees the Lord. Not with the natural eye, when he sees him in the book. Oh, I'm over time. Let me see. Let's take one more point, please. Respect for the word. We've all heard the story of Jonah and the big fish, Jonah and the whale. And there are certain scientists who don't believe that the whale swallowed Jonah. But we had a brother in New York who said, if the Bible had said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I would believe it. Would you? Respect for the word of God. Shall we close? A few weeks ago, our brother gave out a hymn. I don't know if we have that copy with us. In fact, I doubt it. But number 220, standing on the promises, standing on this book. I often ask this question. Now I ask him, aren't you glad you're saved? Nothing better. To look into the word of God, to sing hymns to his glory, what's better? Shall we pray? Holy Father, again we bow in thy presence divine. We give thee thanks for who thou art, and we give thee thanks for salvation. We give thee thanks for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereby we have been brought into relationship with thyself. We reviewed some of the beauties of thy word. Oh, may we respect and honor and reverence thy word more and more. Bless us now as we take leave one of another. Preserve us, we pray thee, during the night, as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.